Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Today's Caffeine for the Soul is a blog post that I wrote, and you can read the Caffeine for the Soul blog each week by subscribing at michaelneal.org. And this one came out of a conversation that I had with my godson, one of my godsons. So he's 9 years old. He's ranked in the top 20 tennis players age 10 and under in Southern California. He's been playing since he was 4. His hand-eye coordination is amazing. When he was 5, I realized that he could switch hit a baseball better than I could when I was playing Little League. And I tried to convince him to take up baseball instead of tennis so that he could live out my unfulfilled childhood dreams of playing shortstop for the Boston Red Sox. But it didn't work out that way. So I'm just going to have to wait for grandkids. Now, the only real weakness in his game, as I've been told, is that from time to time, emotionally, he acts like a 9-year-old, which kind of makes sense, right? But he lets his frustration get the better of him, and occasionally he'll break down in tears during a match. And now that's always been the way, and when he was 5 and 6, it wasn't a big deal, and when he wasn't playing competitively, it wasn't a big deal. But as he's getting older and as he's playing in more tournaments, it becomes more of a big deal, both to him and to his coaches. But in terms of the actual tennis, he gets delay of game penalties. And, you know, his opponents at this age are actually, they get in his head. Like, they're old enough to actually see, a weakness. So when his parents asked me if I could talk with him about it, I was delighted. But I was also kind of daunted because I don't know how you talk to a 9-year-old about this stuff. I mean, I talked to you guys about it, but I kind of do that on the assumption you're a little bit older than 9. So his parents dropped him around. And the one thing that I knew is I didn't want to have him in my office. So we went for a walk. We took the dog for a walk. And I didn't really have a plan. But I just thought, well, let's see what happens. Because, you know, I knew that he was in the middle of a tournament that was actually for 12-year-olds. So he's 9. And his coaches entered him in that tournament so he could learn to lose matches without losing heart. And so we go up. There's a big dirt road near where I live. And I asked him, you know, if his parents had told him why we were having the talk. And he said, it's because my mental game needs work, Mikey. And sometimes I get really mad at myself and I make an unforced error and then I make even more mistakes and you're going to help me with that. So I asked him, do you ever make unforced errors without getting upset? Or do you ever get upset with yourself when you're winning? And he said, no. But then we kept walking and he started to remember times where the game was going well, but he'd still get frustrated. And other times where the game wasn't going well, but he was able to just enjoy playing it. So I said to him, so it's not the unforced errors, and it can happen even when things going well. So what do you think it really is that frustrates you? Now, before he could even answer, a big pickup truck came barreling down the road, and we walked over to the side, and a big dust cloud got kicked up, and it just surrounded us, and my godson and I, like, covered our faces. And then I had an idea, and I said, hey, let's wait here and see what happens to the dust. So we did, and of course, within a minute, it was like the truck had never been there. And I said to him, that dust is a lot like your frustration. If you don't try to do anything with it, it'll settle back down all by itself. And he said, my coaches tell me that. They say I need to just let it go. And I said, do you know how to do that? He said, not really. So we kept walking, and we enjoyed the views and the dog chasing the shadows, and other cars and trucks drove by, and some of them kicked up a lot of dust, and some of them barely brought up any dust at all. And I said to him, those cars are just like thoughts in our heads. Some of them bring up a lot of dust and some just pass through without our really noticing. And he got excited and he said, so can you show me how to stop the cars that make the dust? I said, no, buddy, it really doesn't work that way. Some cars make a lot of dust, some don't. We don't get to decide which cars come or when they come or even how many of them are driving down the road. And he seemed disappointed, but I carried on. I said, now, imagine you could stop one of the cars when it drove by. And you made him drive back and forth and back and forth and back and forth over the same bit of road. What would happen? Big dust, he said, and he got all twinkly again, and we kept walking. And I said, that's right. That's what it's like when we keep thinking about the same thing, running it in our mind again and again and again. Instead of the cars moving on and the dust settling, our whole head gets filled up with dust, and we can't see where we're going or what we're doing. So he said, well, if I can't control the cars or the dust, how am I going to stop getting so frustrated? Well, I thought that was a really good question. So I thought for a minute, and then I said, well, when you're playing really good tennis, do you think about how you're feeling? He said, not really. He said, I sometimes think about which side of the court to hit to or whether to come up to the net, but mostly I just play. I said, that's right. That's why you don't have to try to stop the cars. He went, huh? In a kind of Scooby-Doo voice. And I said, look, when the next car comes, let's stop and study the dust. So a few minutes later we did, and our scientific inquiry came to the conclusion that the dust had a very dusty quality to it. And I said to him, now, watch what happens if after the next car comes, we just keep walking. And the car came, and the dust came up, and we just kept walking. That's the secret right there, buddy, I said. You don't have to do anything about the dust or the cars that kick up the dust. You get to just play tennis. Everything else will take care of itself. Now, at that point, we turned off the road and onto a hiking trail, and the dog ran on ahead, and our conversation moved on to winning and losing. And I said, well, okay, if two tennis players were going to play a match, and one of them was undefeated, 50 wins, no losses, the other one had won 20 games but lost 30, who do you think would win? The undefeated one, he said. Well, what if the one who was undefeated was playing against six-year-olds, and the one who was 20 and 30 was playing against professionals? Well, then I think the one who only won 20 games would probably win. That's what I think, too, I said. Winning and losing is mostly about the level of competition you're facing. It doesn't mean anything about you. You're okay either way. And the cool thing is, when you play against people who are better than you, you usually get better. I know, he said, once again sounding like someone much wiser than his years. That's why I'm playing in this tournament. I already know how to win, so they say it's time I learned how to lose. We were hiking down a hill back to the main road, and he slipped, and he fell, and I checked that he was all right, and I noticed his lip was quivering. He looked like he was about to cry. And I just asked him, dust? Big dust, he said. And he got up, and our conversation moved on to school and Pokemon and what dogs are really saying when they bark. So, postscript. Next day, he calls me late in the afternoon, and he says that he lost his match, but played well, even though he made a lot of unforced errors. And he said, thank you, Mikey, for the conversation about the dust and always right with my world. Now, is that it? Is he never going to lose again because he knows about dust? It doesn't really work that way either. Thought is a constant variable. And no matter how clearly we see it in one moment, in the next moment, our feelings look like they're caused by something outside of us, by the luck of the draw or our opponent or our unforced errors. But he's seen something about it now. And because what he's seen is true, it's going to change the way he thinks and feels about his thoughts and feelings. And if his love of the game continues, I'm sure his success is going to continue as well. He's a really talented kid. But win or lose, he'll be okay. Because he always has been. And regardless of our history of victories and defeats, so have all of us.